We are in the second book.
Oh, we haven't gotten too far
Well, in chapter 13.
then.
That's
Okay.
not too bad. Here we
That's
are.
how we like second book, 13th chapter overall.
Right. So it's the second book. It's the second section of that book. So if you look at Sefer Mishlei. Overall, this is Mechon Mamre here. The whole thing. So, for, the first book starts beginning Mishlei Shlomo, and it's got a couple of paragraphs. There's a paragraph break, another one that's called chapter two. Again, the chapters are later development.
Yeah.
Three, there's a paragraph in the middle of three, there's a paragraph break beginning of four. Middle of four, beginning of five, middle of five, six. Another
It's
paragraph,
really
couple
pretty
of
long.
paragraphs of six. And that goes through basically, you can see that the paragraph breaks here through the end of Tet. Yud starts with Mishlei Shlomo. So that's the second book. And then Yud goes through here, and the first paragraph goes through Perek Yud Bet, three chapters, and we do it long, and then we go into we started Perek Yud Gimel, the next Ben Chacham is the next paragraph of that book, and then it goes to 14. Here we go, Tet Vav. Here we go, Ben Chacham Yisamach Av. Which is the same beginning as the previous paragraph.
Yeah.
Then it goes through a little more and a couple of short paragraphs. It doesn't have the paragraphs here. It's, I think, Til Chaf.
Wow.
Here has a paragraph, breaking a tet, and then let's go Chaf Aleph. Okay, Kaf Gimel.
He's going through it.
Yeah, I'm trying to say where's the next? Here we go. It's Kaf Hey. That was the second book. The third one starts Gam Ela Mishle Shlomo, Ashe Tiko Anche Chizkiya Melch Yuda. So the first two are original Shlomo. This is Mishle Shlomo that collected in the time of Chizkiyahu, who was whatever 150 years later, something like that. And that's Chaf Aleph, okay. And then that's the third book. That's the third major book. And then a couple paragraphs breaks it there. And then we have Perek Lamed is Divrei Agur ben Yaakov. Numa Geber Leltiel, which is, who these
Who is
Agur
this
ben
guy,
Yaakov is.
Agud Ben Yaka?
We have to figure that out.
Is it a real person?
Now, I haven't learned this inside yet. Remember, I'm making this up and going along. But
Okay.
Chazal say that was a pen name for Shlomo also. These are all Shlomos, but these were written called anonymously. And
Yeah.
then the last one is Perek Lamed Aleph, which is Lemuel HaMelech.
That name sounds familiar, but don't ask me why.
Okay, that's another. Again,
It
it's
sounds
just Shlomo
biblical.
also. That's the fifth book. And that's the one that includes Eshet Chayil that everybody knows. Eshet Chayil Miyamsa. That's the
Okay.
last, that's the end of that book, which is one chapter long. That's called Divrei Lemuel Melech Masa Asher Yisur Toli Imo. That is, his mother taught her. So that's, well, the structure of Sefer Shlomo. And we are.
So would you say that's the best well-known thing in Mishlei is Eshet Chayil?
I would say so. Say every Friday night, right?
Yeah. Because
I
if
mean,
you
there are
say,
other pieces that are famous.
I mean, there may be other ones that are pretty well-known, but
It's
I
Chaim
don't know if
Hila.
you would say, oh, I know that comes from Sefer Mishlei, you know?
It's Chaim Hila Machazikim Ba.
Oh, okay. Yeah. But see, I didn't know that that came from there.
There you go. We did that pause ago, right? Okay,
Yeah,
but
interesting.
I'm going to move because I have to go. I have to go to Marv at 8:10. Do you want to start?
Okay.
So we're at Perek Vav. We're now Mishlei Perek. No, I'm sorry, Perek Yud Gimel. Let's see if I can get this to work.
What time is tomorrow? 8 o'clock or something?
8:05.
All right. So we're laying a shorter thing
Yeah.
today. Okay.
Okay. And Pasuk Vav, it starts out with Sakat Tatsor Tam Darach. That Saka, charity, justice, will guard the one who is perfect in their path. Rishah, an evil, Tsalef Chatat. Will Tsalef, it means to warp,
To
to turn
warp.
warp, to turn something bad, to
Oh,
twist
okay.
it around. Can okay, we see that? And Pasuk in Devarim, it says, Lo tikach shochad, do not take bribes, ki shochad yaver einei chachamim, because bribery will blind the wise, be saleif, and will warp divrei tzadikim, the words of the just. So here it's rish'at tisaleif chatat, that evil, as an abstract noun, will warp those who sin. Okay, the chatat is both a choteh. In other words, it's the act of evil itself. That even if you're a good person, you do something wrong, you will be changed by that. A person will be warped by sinning, one who acts correctly, right? You're Tam Darach, you guard where you go, you'll be productive, protected by your own tzedakah. That's the Sefer HaChinuch puts it that way. Is Acharei HaPulot Nimshechim Al Vavot. Your mind follows what your actions are. And this is the way the Sefer HaChinuch puts it. Da yishno, ki adam nif'al kifi pulato. Person is acted upon according to his own actions. Libo b'chol machshavotav, your heart, all your thoughts, tamid achar ma'asav, they all go according to what you do. Talked about the fact that we are social primates. We care about what we observe others doing, and that becomes automatically right. Includes our own behavior. The things that we observe ourselves doing are, by definition, right. We do those. Right? Whatever you do, in Tovim Ra, whether it's good or bad. I feel a Rasha Gamor, if you're a completely evil person, feel Vavo in your heart. As Hashem says of mankind, all you think about all day is bad. If you become inspired, yes, Torah, mitzvot. There. And you decide, you start acting consistent with Torah and mitzvot. I feel shamayim, even if it's not for the sake of heaven, you're not doing it for the right reason. Whatever reason you're doing a great thing, miyad you will start being a better person inside. Balashma. And when even though you're not doing it intentionally just to be good, you will get to that point of doing it lishma for its own sake. Yamit, and your actions will kill the Yetzer Hara. Because our minds follow our actions. If you act happy, you'll be happy.
That's sort of like the thing in Pirkei
Right. That's
Avot.
one explanation of that idea.
Yeah.
That, if you do it, it becomes natural. And this is a statement from William James, early 20th century psychologist. That action seems to follow feeling. That we think things and then we do them. But no, really, action and feeling go together. And by regulating the action, which is under control, more direct control of the will, we can indirectly regulate the feeling, which is not. That's the sovereign voluntary path to cheerfulness. Saying, as a psychologist, you want to be happy. What's the best way to do that? If our spontaneous cheerfulness be lost, if you're not happy. It's to sit up cheerfully, look around cheerfully, to act and speak as if cheerfulness were already there. Such a conduct does not make you soon feel cheerful. Nothing else on that occasion can. Smiling makes you feel better. And so too, doing mitzvot makes you better inside, more likely to do mitzvot later. Don't feel brave, act as you were brave, use our will to that end, and a courage fit will likely replace the fit of fear. Which is, summarizes the fake it till you make it. that's really how the human brain works. And so Shlomo continues on that with the next pasuk, which says, Yesh mitaser, Rashi, and his first explanation, Yesh mitaser ve'en kol, has nothing, is someone who mitaser, makes himself wealthy, but has nothing. So Marem Asmo Ashir. There are people who pretend to be wealthy, who act wealthy, but have nothing, mitroshesh, or make themselves poor, behon rav, and they have lots of money. Not saying which one's good or bad. There are people who act like they have things and don't. But Tavarachia, another way of reading the same pasuk, is that there are those who make themselves wealthy but have nothing. Yesh adam shu mitaser v'sofo. It's talking about eventually. If you can start with nothing but eventually have money, ve'en lo klum b'tchilato, v'yeshu bat lidei aniut miman gadol. There are those who are mitroshesh who become poor, even though they have a lot of money. We have no control over the wealth we have, as well, as Chana says in her Shira, Hashem marisha mashia. Hashem makes people wealthy. Hashem makes them poor. We don't have control over that. Or Devar Acher, another way of reading this pasuk, that you can be mitaser, make yourself wealthy in the wrong way, and that will lead to Ein Kol, you have nothing. So mitaser begezel aniyim, become wealthy by theft. Sof ein lo klum, and you'll have nothing.
This
Which
says, anim. Does that mean to make yourself rich by stealing from the poor? Are they
yes.
not?
So
Are they?
that is saying that the mitaser ve'en kol and really has nothing.
Oh, here's a person who doesn't have a lot of money, but he feels wealthy.
So that's, you know, that's one way of looking at it. You don't have money, but you feel wealthy. Another way of say of interpreting this pasuk is a matter of time. Sometimes you have money, sometimes not. Or you can, the other way is if you actually have money, but you get it the wrong way, that really has you, and you have nothing by stealing. Or mitroshesh, if you make mitroshesh, that you become poor, ayadei shepazer, because you're generous and atela of yonim, and you give it to the poor, then hav hon rav muchanal, you will be rewarded richly. And because the bottom line of all of these is that wealth is an illusion. Either way, you're pretending. This is the
You
Malbec.
know, when I was working at Covenant House, I had this guy, Howard Leuterstein. He was on my board. He's active with Eish HaTorah, I think, or he was at the time. And he's a money manager. I don't know who he worked for. One of those,
Right.
Salomon Brothers. I don't know who. He took me in and he says, "Let me tell you about money." I said, "Okay, well," he says, "Really, you only have as much as you have given away or what you've done. Because you don't know what's going to happen tomorrow.
Right.
The stock market goes up, it goes down, you buy something, a house burns down, I mean, God forbid, but you don't really know." So he said, "Whatever you have now, use it to do something good." I said, "I agree with you 100%."
Okay, and that's exactly the way to read that pasuk. Yesh mitaser ve'en kol. You could have money and have nothing. You could have nothing and have lots.
Yeah.
And the Malbim, a little more prolixly, says it. Yesh lefi ru'ot e'ayin. There are those who appear nirashu mitaser. Look like they're rich. But achreya bechinas sichli. But when you think about it, ve'emet ein lo kol. Really, they have nothing. Can you know famim? So too sometimes. But ayin that appears, she ish mitroshesh, umachle osho, someone who can be poor has lost all their wealth. Met yeshlo hon rav. Really, they have lots of treasure. Because having wealth isn't really something that you have. It's not something you really acquire. Midumna, it's just imaginary. It's imaginary possession. Like if you're someone who's insane, said Zebiti Zekinini, right? Someone who you just walk by and say, "That's my house." No, it's not. What is yeah. Certainly, we just said the times that it's not. Even if you think it's yours, right? I have the deed to it. It's really mine, as you said. It runs down tomorrow. Moshe Ketuvah Rambam Moreh Nevuchim, where the Rambam says, and the fact that we call someone rich if they have lots of stuff. It's a vanity of the imagination. No connection between your stuff and you. So if a mim yaveh osher, something can be lost, something bad happens. Kapanim, at the very least, Yazvu l'acharim chelam b'mota. You'll end up losing everything you have to others when they die. That's the plot of
Can't take
Kohelet.
it with you.
Can't take it with you. So it's not, what it means is yours. You're going to lose it eventually. Ad shurak mitasher l'fnei, so that everyone who has wealth is just pretending. B'met ein lo kol, really, there's nothing. Ein ze kinyan davuk b'nafsho, because it's not, that's nothing you have that's connected to you. That was your point, right? Alamisha pazar oshros tzedakah v'chesed, someone who used their wealth for tzedakah, good deeds, v'kona b'zeh shleimut l'nafsho, and achieves the ultimate perfection of their soul, who ikar adama, achal ze osher amiti. If you, what you, that is this essence of what is human, and that's true wealth. The midrashesh has that someone who looks poor like that, who appears poor, yesh lo hon rav, shamur l'netzach ba'olam haneshamot. They have much treasure waiting for them in the eternal world. Osher amiti, that's real wealth. Hon tzchi, and eternal wealth. Rav gadol ma'olam. And that's why, and a vote where it says is Ezu Hashir, Sameach B'chalko. Right? You have to feel wealthy. This is what I have. That's all I need. If my goal is to get more stuff, I'm never going to feel, I'm not getting, never going to be rich. And then Shlomo goes, what do you do with that wealth? Right? You have stuff. What are you supposed to do with it? We all have stuff. It says, Kofer Nefesh Ish Oshro, that a person's wealth is their kofanesh, their ransom for their soul. You save your life with it. And he has this very weird second half of the pasuk of Rash lo shama ga'ara, but the poor does not hear, does not listen to rebuke, criticism. Let's see what that connects to it. But the first part is pretty straightforward, that kofanesh nefesh is the ransom of a man's life. You can avoid punishment by giving money. Pasuk says that you can't take, in an actual court case, you can't give a kofer nefesh. If you're chayav mita, it's a capital case, you can't just say, here, take my money instead. You can't bribe your way out of it. It says, lo tichu kofer l'nefesh, do not take this kofer, a ransom for the life of a murderer, asher rasha lamut, who's convicted to die, gimur yamut, is a prim to death. And lo tichu kofer lanus el ir mechlato, and you can't take ransom from someone who is negligent, who goes to an ir miklat. And you can't take a bribe, you can't take money, l'shuv l'shevet ba'aretz, to go back and live in the land, on mor ha-kohen, until the kohen dies. We know the laws of the ir arei miklat. And that's opposed to the rules if your animal kills somebody. So the halacha is, ki yachshoro it isha v'tishaf, an ox gores a man or woman, a mate and dies, so kol yisakel ashor, the animal's put to death, lo yachel basro, don't eat the meat, ubal ashor naki, but the owner of the ox is innocent, imshor nagah chum in mol shel sham, but if this ox has gored multiple times and wasn't put to death yet, v'hu ad babalav, and the owners were warned, lo yishmerenu, didn't guard the animal, v'hemit isha v'isha, and then kill someone, ashor yisakel, v'gam balav yuma. The ox is stoned, and the owner is put to death in the sense of his chayav mita, is liable for a death penalty. But in kofar yushat alav, in that case, the owner actually just pays a penalty. Doesn't have to. It's not actually a put to death. That's not a capital crime to own a vicious animal. We have to pay. You have to pay a kofar nefesh. That's what kofar nefesh is. That the Beit Din apply. Penalizes with his kofar, with some kind of ransom, that time to nafsho, then he will pay what enough to redeem his life, yushat alav, whatever the court imposes upon him. So this kofar nefesh ishasho, that your wealth acts as a kofar nefesh, will save your life. And the
What's the goring ox called in Hebrew that's got he has a reputation of already being crazy?
A Shor Mu'ad.
Shor Muad?
Right. It's Hu'ad Ba'alav. The owners had testimony against them. Shor Mu'ad is that there was testimony against this.
I see, because he already has a reputation.
So there you pay a kofar nefesh. So here, So Rashi says, a kofer nefesh isho sho is that you can use your wealth to save yourself. Giving tzedakah is a positive thing. As long as Rosh Lo Shama Gara, as long as you are not criticizing the poor person, you're not rebuking the poor person, you're giving it willingly, you're giving it happily, you're not giving begrudgingly. Right? Kofer nefesh isho sho is Rashi, osho shel adam u kofer nafsho. Right? Your wealth can be used as a kofer. To save your life, shasabi means like how you're doing righteous things, with giving charity. Rosh lo shema gara, but the poor doesn't hear rebuke. Levad, meaning as long as yashmiya gara la rosh, he does not say anything negative to the poor person. Shnotan lo, beino machmodo, you don't embarrass the person you're giving to. That doesn't count as tzedakah, no matter how much you're giving. And then he says, you know, this kofer nefesh is really a metaphor for Torah. That osha, the wealth, is what you've accumulated as wisdom. That's real wealth. So Rosh Lo Shama Gara is the parallel to that. That if you're rich, well, then you can have that, then that tzedak, that acts as a kofer nefesh, right? If you have that Torah. But if you're not, if you are Lo Shama Gara, if you don't listen to criticism, that you, then you're rush, then you're poor. I don't care how much you know. If you don't listen to other people, then you're not rich in Torah knowledge. And that's Rashi again, Devar Acher, another way of interpreting it. Kofer nefesh, isha shro, Torah to. That your Torah accent can save you. Rashi, if Redivre Torah, someone who's poor in the words of Torah, Lo Shema Gara, doesn't listen to criticism. Deila Sur Meira, right? If you don't listen to criticism, you don't listen to what other people are telling you, then you won't avoid the evil. Nizar, you don't know about it. It doesn't matter how much Torah you know. But there's another use of the term kofer nefesh, ransom fees for life. It explicitly talks about the ashir varash, the rich and the poor. And that's the machzir shekel. All right, this is Parshas Shkalim, beginning of Kitisa, by Devar Hashem Moshe Le'emor. Kitisat Rosh B'nai Yisrael, right? When you count of B'nai Yisrael, if good they ham in the census, the new ish kofer nafsho, right? So that's the expression right there. And everyone gives, they will redeem their lives. They will give money to protect their lives, Hashem, to God, b'fgorotam, as they're being counted, lo yavehem negef b'fgorotam, so that there not be a plague when they're counted. I'll talk about why. Counting you lead to plagues. They knew, so this is what they give. Anyone is old enough to be counted. Machzir shekel, one half a shekel, b'shekel kodesh. It's rim grey ra shekel, machzir shekel, truma Hashem. Half a shekel is 20 geras, because that's a gift to God. Ho'ovel p'udim, b'ben Hashem shana v'mala. Anyone old enough to be counted from 20 years and up, yitain truma Hashem will give this gift. Ashir lo yarbeh, v'adal lo yamid. Rich don't give more. And the poor don't give less. Everyone gives exactly the same amount as Machzir Shekel, the Tanit Trumat Hashem, to give to God, L'chaper al nafshotechem, as a kapara for your lives. And so Rashi ends with the Midrash says, no, that this pasuk in Mishlei that says, Kofer nefesh ish osho v'rash lo yishma ga'ara, actually refers to the Machzir Shekel. That everyone is obligated to give, right? That the poor and the rich are equal. It's kofer nefesh ish ashir varash. They all have this, everyone has this identical ransom for themselves. They're going to save their lives by giving this. And then the poor is eno shomea gara, will not hear criticism. Will not doesn't feel embarrassed in front of the rich person anymore low because the rich can't say chelki. My portion is bigger than yours, but karbonat tibor, because that's what goes to pay the karbonot. Everyone's got the same. So the rich and the poor are treated equally, and that's a lifesaver, kofer nefesh. And it is so because it creates community. And that was from a shiur by Eli Baruch Shulman, who's a Rosh Yeshiva at YU. And Rabbi Shulman here's brother. And he gave
Where is he?
at YU.
Oh, he's a YU.
And he gave a musarabat at the St. Louis Kollel in March on March 12, 2020. You remember March 12, 2020?
No, but I know it was the beginning of the
Right at the
plague.
beginning of COVID. So
Yeah.
this was a Zoom shear.
Oh.
And he met, this is their first Zoom shear. And he mentions that he's glad that we're doing this here with the St. Louis Colel because he got to start giving his shiurim at YU on Zoom because they just shut down the university.
Wow.
This is right when they started. And he says that human beings are social animals. And Hashem never judges us as isolated individuals because we're never isolated individuals. We're always part of the community. So he talks about the Machzis Shekel is L'Yevahem Negev. It protects from plague, right? And why does it protect from plague? It says, because why do plagues happen? Is because
People
we're
get
all,
close and the germ spread.
you're close to, you say you're close to all your germy friends that we just
Yeah.
said?
Yeah.
Yes.
I didn't
Plagues
know it
happen.
like that, but yeah, okay, that's
Okay, plagues happen because of crowds, right? Diseases can't spread unless people are interacting with each other. Okay? And this is the beginning of COVID, so that had some meaning, right? So
yeah.
it's not the counting, it's not the census causes the plague. It's the conditions of having enough people worthy of count that you need to count them, then you have a plague. If you were just a band of chimpanzees with 7, 8, 20 together, then you're not going to have plague spreading. When you need to, if you need to count the people in a community, then you're going to have diseases spreading. It says there are two kinds of crowds. You can form a mob, an unthinking mass of humanity, like a herd of animals. And that's susceptible to communicable disease. But if you form a tzibur, which is really a community, everyone has their individuality, everyone has their bechira, everyone has responsibility for the others. And that's what the Machzis Shekel, that we're, none of us are by ourselves, we're all half, we have to all go to somebody else, but we're all individuals, we're all the same, we all have the same moral worth. Once we have that, then we are a tzibur. And the Hashem promised to protect us from that plague. And we have to warrant that kind of protection. So your osher is a kofer nefesh, but your wealth is, can save your life if it increases your connection to others. If you're lo shama gara, if you're one of the people who doesn't listen, don't care about others, then you're rush, you're poor, you have nothing, and you don't have that thing to protect yourself. So the bottom line here is that if you want to be rich and be ashir, you need more than being sameach b'chalko. Yes, you can't just be happy with what you have. You have to be sameach b'chol chaver. You have to be happy with what the other has as well. You have to feel their needs as well.
Yeah.
And then Shlomo, the last pasuk will do.
Well, that's really what makes you rich.
It's all the connections you have.
No, but I'm just saying, being part of a community where people care about each other, that's much more important than
And that
being.
is, and that's, if you think about money in general, money only has value in terms of what other people want. If
Right.
you're on a desert island with, £1 million of gold, it's not, you're not rich at all.
Man, what are you going to do with it?
So the next pasuk is about light. Or tzadikim, the light of the righteous is happy. The ner rasha'im yidach, but the candle of the wicked flickers. It goes out. So
What's that word, yadah?
yidach, it generally translates to flicker, to be jumping. How does he want to translate this?
It's weak. In
Sorry,
other words, it's fragile.
let me look over here. See how, here we go. And he, so Koran translates, it shall be put out. Let's look
Oh,
over
so it is.
here.
It's fragile. The fragile
Right.
flame.
JPS extinguished. Rashi says
Flicker.
flicker out. I like flicker.
Yeah, it's
Okay, you can
weak.
do it in finished. It lampe de marchand or French. Marchand est fumes.
What's Puma?
I don't know. Or whatever French means in fumes. Or here we go.
It's smoky.
Oh, that's good.
Fumé is smoke.
That's right. Okay, that makes sense. Lampe de impies cent ans. Etienne. You know what Etienne means? I don't know.
I have no idea.
Oh, this is nasty. Anyway, so the Ibn Ezra says is that this is, or the light, the candle, talking about the neshama of a person.
Yeah.
Right? And then Mishle says consistently, there's no such thing as tzaddik v'ra lo. Tzaddik, it's good for tzaddikim, it's bad for rasha. When bad things happen, are always deserved. Okay, so that yitikin liyot ha'or v'ner remez me'or Hashem. This is the symbol. It's the light. The candle is a symbol for the neshama that comes from the light of God. V'dima right? So the soul of the tzaddik is like the light of the sun, is a reich that just shines out. Nefesh rasha laner, and but the soul of a rasha is like a candle. It doesn't last. It ends. Okay, the neshama of a tzaddik lights, and so the ner rishem yidach. Nafsham below itam, they'll die for the time. And this interprets way to read it, because we'll see later in Mishlei he says ner Hashem nishmat adam. That's the metaphor. The neshama of a tzaddik is like light that lasts forever. It's yismach, it's happy.
That's fun. That's famous.
Ner Hashem nishmat adam. Yes, I think there's another implication, which I'm going to end with. So we've talked in the Tehillim Shiur, we looked at Shaul, first king of Israel, his genealogy. Pasuk in Shmuel Aleph says, "V'kish avi Shaul," that Kish was the father of Shaul, Shaul ben Kish, the ner avi Avner, and Avner, who was Shaul's general, is his cousin. Avner was the son of Ner, ben Abiel, and both of them were the son of Abiel. So Shaul's father is Kish, his grandfather is Abiel. But in Divrei Yamim it says Ner holida Kish, that Ner was the father of Kish, who Kish holida Shaul, and Kish was the father of Shaul, v'sholida Yonatan bet Aminadab bet Eshbaal. Those were Shaul's sons. So in Divrei Yamim, Shaul's grandfather is called Ner, and Shmuel Aleph is named Abiel. And Ner is Shaul's uncle. His cousin is named Avner. They like the name Ner in the family. The Gemara says that now his name was Abiel, Shaul's grandfather, but Ner was a cognomen, which is Latin term for a nickname, but a meaningful one. That when you became an adult, you had a name that fit you. Was the plot of Dances with Wolves, right? And you took a name that meant something. So that people called him Ner. This is the Gemara. This is the that's Gemara. This is the Midrash. The Rabbi Shimon Levi, Shaul lo zachah l'melucha, that Shaul only deserved to become king. Ella, because Ayadesh Hayazikno, because his grandfather, this Abiel, he had Madlik Nerot l'Rabim. He lit candles for the public. Amru mevaot afilot. The people were saying that the streets are too dark. Hayim afilot hayim mibeitel beit midrash, from his house, all to get to the beit midrash. Madlik nerot, he would light lamps along the way. He kedel ha'ir b'hem l'arabim, so that people would have light at night. He would set lights up along the streets. Ketuba, and we see that Ketuba ner holida kish. We see one place where Kish's his father called Ner. Tuvacher omer kish ben Abiel. Another one says his father's name Abiel. Etzad, how's that possible? Abiel Hashemot. His name was Abiel. Adesha madlik nerot l'rabim, because he lit candles for the public. Zacha, he was zochi v'nikra shmo Ner. They called him the candle guy, Ner.
Yeah, like the candy man at all.
Yeah, he was the candle man, right? So the nature of a ner is that I can light it for myself, or I can light lamps for everyone else. Abiel is called Ner, and his family took that name Ner, right? His aunt Ner was also called the Ner, right? His grandson is Abner, because he dedicated himself to lighting the way that for others. So that's the light and the one that lasts. So that's the way of reading Or Tzadik Yismach, Tzadikim Yismach, the light of a tzaddik makes happy. Right? That's the definition of tzaddik, is someone who lights it for everyone else. But Ner Hashem Yadach, that the candle of a rasha flickers out. It doesn't last. It has no meaning. I say that specifically because tonight's the yahrzeit of my father. Rav Meir
Oh,
didn't.
tonight's the yahrzeit of your dad?
Yes. But
Wow. His
momentarily.
neshama should have an aliyah.
Thank you. That's what this year should be as a zechut for him. He was Rabbi Marcel Wachstock. What does Wachstock mean? The old German word for candle.
Really, that's so funny because his first name is Mayor. So
Right.
that's
That's true
light. That's
too.
also light.
Right. And so that it literally means a wax stick. Okay.
Ah, okay.
Somewhere in my ancestry, there was a Nair, right? Like this Nair, the grandfather of Sheol, someone who lit lights for others, who lit the way for others. And my father of Shalom certainly was. He was dedicated to helping others. It was dedicated to community, right? And his light still lives on. So there's Meshama Haben Aliyah. And that's what this shiur is dedicated to. So that's the Nair Tani
Oh,
Yismach.
all right. I'm sure he's smiling down on you, Danny.
I certainly hope so. I'm going to stop here. I'm going to rush off to shul
Okay.
and have a good
Thank
night.
you so much. All right. Double, double, draw up.